Alex, I believe I have reached the equivalent of nirvana.
Tell me more.
Well, I have been sleeping on my cozy earth sheets.
Wow.
And when I get up in the morning, I put on my fantastic jogger suit.
Yes.
Which is a funny way to put it, but you started saying that, so I'm just going to keep on going. And it is opening my mind to things I didn't know I could open my mind to.
Casey, all I have to say is, welcome to the other side.
It's incredible, Alex.
I've lived two lives. One of them is before Cozy Earth, and one is after.
Which is right now.
That's right. We're talking Cozy Earth. They make incredible, soft, lovely, temperature-controlled bedding and cozy wear.
Cozy Earth makes the best clothes I think I've ever touched, that have ever touched my skin.
Casey, I'm right there with you.
It's soft, it's breathable, it's temperature regulated, it looks good, it feels good, which makes it good.
And how about this for good? All of their products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. So if for some completely batshit reason you don't love these sheets, you can return them.
Now, Alex, right around the corner is Mother's Day. If you haven't already done something, which you should have,
yeah,
now's your moment. Go buy your mom some Cozy Earth, because it is the thing that will help her sleep at night. It's the thing that will help keep her comfortable at all moments of her life. And that's what you want for your mom.
So she isn't up all night thinking about what a disappointment her children are.
Exactly, because they didn't get her Cozy Earth. You don't want to be on that level.
Well, Casey, here's some exciting news. All Completely Arbitrary listeners get 35% off at CozyEarth.com with promo code TREES. Again, that's promo code TREES, T-R-E-E-S, for 35% off at Cozy Earth. So get yourself cozy. Get your mom cozy. Hell, get your dad cozy and your friends cozy.
Yeah, it doesn't have to stop there, you know?
Make the earth cozy with Cozy Earth.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
What's up, Fungal Associates? Welcome to Completely Arbitrary, the podcast about trees and other related topics. I could be like a... my name is Alex Croson, by the way.
Hi, this is Casey Clapp. Continue, Alex.
I feel like I could be like a local, kind of like independent wrestling announcer.
Dude, you should do that. You know, we have a local independent wrestling crew here.
Yes, I forget what it's called. Gorilla something?
Yeah, I guess I don't remember what it is either.
Okay.
But I've always wanted to go. In fact, last week, we thanked Rainey, my friend Rainey, who works with Nakamoto Forestry.
Yes.
She likes to go to this local, like amateur wrestling night. She's done it a bunch of times. She says it's a bunch of fun.
I bet it's a blast, yeah.
You know that it's you know, this show, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so I like that they're like, well, we're going to do it too, but it's like all local people having a great time,
yeah,
like really yucking it up, and you're just like, yeah,
that's a lot of fun.
It's like going to amateur baseball, you know?
Yes, totally.
It's like you're just there to have a good time and root on your pickles. That's it.
Everybody raises the stakes for themselves because it's just more fun that way.
Yeah, exactly.
If you just compare it to, you know, the MLB,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah,
this isn't that great,
right?
No offense to any pickle players out there.
Hey, yeah, they're doing very great.
Casey,
Alex,
my friend Dan.
Okay.
Host of the podcast Dan Cable Presents,
oh,
that,
yeah,
I was on.
Yeah.
He is on a hockey team,
oh,
called the Portland Pinecones.
I love that so much.
And they have, I think it's like their version of like an MPV. MPV? What am I trying to say? MVP.
Okay, yeah. I like most person valuable.
Most personable value. That is a, hold on to your butts. It's a necklace,
yeah,
that they give to the MPV. of a golden pine cone.
That's copyright infringement.
I'm no longer his friend. We've sent our lawyers after them.
Yeah, yeah. They're going to take him down. My God. How could they do that without asking? Dan?
Yeah, I'm assuming none of them listen to the show.
Yeah, well, we really wish they would. So yeah. Honestly, here's the deal we'll make. You guys ready? We'll drop our lawsuits. Suits. There are many.
Nice.
If you all become listeners of our show.
That's how we're going to settle out of court.
Yeah, exactly.
God, we're so bad at this. We should have asked for money, Casey.
To be very clear, all you need to do is just go to sleep, play it, and just put it on mute. We don't care.
Just get us those listens.
That's all we want.
Casey, we just had a run of episodes about logging.
Yep.
Which ended last week with Sugi.
That's right.
Which I think was it might have been my favorite of the lot.
Of those, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very curious one. It had a lot going on.
It really was.
Yeah.
And we have this interesting little middle week here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have an episode this week, a normal episode. It's going to be very good.
That's right.
Next week, we're going to have a bonus episode while you and I prepare for what comes next.
Yes.
Which is a very excellent series.
And also we had to take a break because we are doing the Treemies this week.
That's right, Casey.
If you're hearing this and you're in Los Angeles, California, or Arizona, New Mexico, or any of the other United States, come over and visit us at the Treemies at the Lemley Theater.
Yes.
In Los Angeles.
That's right. This Saturday, April 22. That's Earth Day.
That is. It's Earth Day.
We knew this.
We all knew this. Everyone knows this.
I sound surprised.
Yeah, well, it's nice to be surprised. You know, every now and then you remember, you know, it's like you're like, oh, Christmas is coming up. Oh my God. I totally spaced on that.
Good integration by Tobin. Yeah. If you're listening to this on the day it comes out or even a couple days after, there's still time to buy a ticket and come into the Treemies and watch us embarrass ourselves on stage for an hour.
You guys, it's going to be like, we're doing it with Tobin Mitnick of the fame Jews Love Trees.
Yes.
And it is just going to be a blast.
Yeah.
Like, if you've heard or gone to any of our other live events, this is on par with that. It's going to be a bunch of fun. The thing that's going to make it different and more fun is that there's an actual comedian there.
Right.
Yeah. So that's going to be nice.
Yeah. The mastermind behind this whole thing has a good sense of humor.
Yeah, exactly. He's pretty funny every now and then.
Well, Casey, this week we're talking about a tree as we do every week.
That's right.
And
that's
it is the pew, 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 Kentucky coffee tree.
There it is. And just in case you got sound emojis to know what we're talking about.
The Kentucky coffee tree, Casey, scientific name?
Gymnocladus dioica.
That's a fun one.
And if anyone asks us saying dioicus, just go read the Oregon State Landscape Plants rant about that. It's only like two sentences, but our favorite, just in case anyone is ever aware, we use this all the time, and it's usually the first link goes to this if we can.
Right.
Patrick Breen is the curator of this. Patrick went through this and said the scientific name is dioica, and then said, often it's written as dioicus, but the genus Gymnocladus is feminine. Therefore, the correct attribution must also be feminine, hence dioica.
Wow.
And then says the masculine form of the word is dioicus. If I have offended any Latin scholars with this explanation, mea culpa, mea culpa.
Oh my God.
So he just throws it back at him.
That's great. What a good
so
guy. Good.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what we're going to stick with.
It's very clever. Cuss.
Cut. Oh, cuh.
Oh boy.
Dioica.
What have we done?
Well, I don't know.
You've introduced two things to me.
All at the same time. And then crossed them a few times.
All at the same time.
There you go.
Well, hey, we got plenty of Kentucky coffee tree goodness to fuel your brain gums, but that has to happen. I'm trying to talk like somebody from Kentucky. I'm not sure how they do, though.
Well, I think they just do it normally.
What?
Yeah.
They're not all Annie Oakley?
I don't know.
All right, we'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary. You know, here I am at the ripe old age of 35. And one thing that has become really important to me just over the last couple of years is privacy. Besides what I tell you here on the podcast, I basically don't want anyone to know anything about me unless I choose to tell them. And one way I up my privacy game is with NordVPN. Now, if you are like me and didn't know what a VPN was until a couple of weeks ago, let me tell you, a VPN is a virtual private network. And I said to myself, well, sure, that sounds cool, but I really don't know what it is or does. And then the moment I turned it on, I said, I get it now. A VPN changes your IP address, hides your virtual location, and encrypts your connection, which allows you to increase your privacy online. How many times per day do you get scam calls or spam email because your data got leaked somehow? I also get emails from companies saying, hey, I see you bought something with us recently. Unfortunately, we got hacked and your data is now being used to harm you. With a VPN, you do not have to worry about any of this. It secures you when you're using public Wi-Fi. It stops marketers and internet service providers from tracking and collecting your browsing history and your messages and lots of other private data. And you can change your location to any of hundreds of countries, unlocking the power of, I don't know, say, British Netflix. I didn't know how important it was until I started using one. That's the truth. So if you just want to check out the features and see if it's right for you, I bet there's something about a VPN that will surprise you. So get started with NordVPN at nordvpn.com/trees. That's nordvpn.com/trees. It's risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and the link is in the description. Now go get secure. Hey, let me ask you this. You ever taken a walk and just felt inspired? Maybe you discovered your new favorite restaurant, or popped into the library and found a book that you really wanted to read, or you're like, hey, I think this car dealership used to be a Taco Bell. Well, there's a podcast about this kind of thing now with comedian and actor Alan McLeod, one of the funniest guys. It's called Walking About. It's a new podcast that treks into the simple joy of walking and its connections to health, history, creativity, and of course, community. In each episode, Alan invites a friend to share a little stroll and see where the sidewalk takes him. Alan McLeod has guests including Mike Mitchell, Spoon Man, Spoon Nation for Life. You got Colton Dunn. You got Janet Varney, Eva Anderson, Whitmer Thomas, Gabrus, Ed Begley Jr., Catherine Spears, Andy Richter, and of course, Burger Boy, Nick Weiger. Some of the funniest people. You know this podcast is going to be an absolute hoot. Maybe you could even listen to it while you're taking your walks. So lace up your podcasting shoes and listen to Walking About out now, wherever you get your pods. Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary.
Alex stared at me for 2 seconds before that, and I was like, am I supposed to be doing something right now?
Sometimes when we take a break, we go, oh, okay, let me go to the bathroom, let me do this, and oh, we should probably do
it.
But I wanted to jump right back in, Casey.
I think that's the right move.
Because I was feeling it.
Yeah, I'm feeling hot.
Much like Blink-182. You're feeling hot?
I'm feeling it.
Yeah. I'm nervous, so don't do
it. I was trying to think of the next line, Alex. I was really hoping you were going to do it so I could just say again, I'm feeling it.
I can do a weird impression of it.
Dang it, man. We suck at music.
Kentucky Coffee Tree, Casey.
Kentucky Coffee Tree, Alex.
Give me that Latin one more time.
Gymnocladus dioica.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gymnocladus dioica.
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 Yes, dioica, Alex. There are 4 vowels and only 2 consonants.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's actually quite challenging.
This word would cost you a lot on Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, that's right.
Well, let's imagine, as we do every episode, Casey, that you and I'm going to take a stab in the dark here.
Please.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
You and I are walking along a riparian area.
Ooh.
Next to the Mississippi River.
All right.
And we come across some Kentucky coffee tree.
Sure do. Sure do, Alex.
Let's ID this tree.
Well, I'm happy that you asked. I'm happy also that you found us in the exact right place.
Yes!
You are spot on.
Wonderful.
Ironically spot on.
Never
spot
happens.
On.
Oh.
Not ironically in a bad way. Ironically in a way that we'll talk about.
Okay.
Because the tree essentially can grow anywhere, but it is only now growing in these places.
Okay.
So this is the Kentucky coffee tree. It's native from essentially kind of the Ohio-ish valley area over to the west up into like just the very lowest areas of Minnesota, and then kind of down that Mississippi Valley kind of area.
Great.
And it's mostly found, like you're saying, in these riparian kind of lowland areas.
Yeah.
And it doesn't grow too far away from water, generally speaking, for some very particular reasons, which we'll get to. The best part about this tree is, honestly, I shouldn't say that, because there are so many parts that I love about this tree, and I want you to look them up as we say it.
Okay.
So, first thing we'll do, the thing you don't need to look up, no one cares about, is the form of this tree.
I want to know.
All right. They generally...
I want to know. We've had a long, kind of, like, emotionally heavy day, Casey and I.
So we're just singing about it?
So it just feels good to be goofy again, doesn't it, Case?
Yeah, it does. Thanks, everyone.
We're back home, huh?
Bring it home. So, it's a tree. It grows up. It can get about 80 feet tall. I think there's records of it getting up to 100 feet. Depending on where you're looking at and the kind of variety you have, I've read everything from 40 to 50, 50 to 80, up to 100 feet.
Hmm.
So it's kind of a tree that can grow at a variable size, but it's not a tree that's going to be the dominant tree.
Sure.
In fact, it's a tree that's kind of always going to be like not the dominant tree.
Is it kind of like a mid-story tree?
It's kind of a loner tree is the best way to describe it. You know how like you go to a party and you're hanging out and there's someone that you see over there and they're just like, they're not really... They're there because they have to be.
Well, Casey,
mm?
I don't see that person because I'm inside him.
Wow. Oh, my God. This is the Alex of the tree world.
I don't know if I like that.
Yeah. You know what? You're not going to like it as we keep going, but maybe you will.
I'd love to be the life of the party someday.
Yeah. Well, anyway, Alex, this is not the Alex of trees. I will say that because I know where we're going with this.
Oh, okay.
So it's a tree that is, I think you're right. It's kind of a middling tree. It kind of grows up and out a little bit. It'll take up a nice, big, perfectly round form.
Yeah.
Has a pretty gorgeous canopy. It is, though, the latest of all of the trees in this area to leaf out in the spring.
Oh, okay.
In fact, gymnocladus means naked stem.
Wow.
Or naked branch. So it is known for being the latest to come out.
Literally a late bloomer.
Quite literally, Alex.
Cool.
Not only that, it is the first to drop its leaves and go dormant again in the fall.
This is the Alex tree. Show up late, leave early.
Exactly. It's 100% what it does. So it gets big, but for, I think, essentially 8 months of the year, it has no leaves on it whatsoever.
Okay.
So this tree grows up and it has this big, nice, gorgeous kind of canopy, this very circular, very round, very kind of common forest tree. It just kind of grows up and out, broadleaf of that decurrent kind of form.
Or should we say broadleaflet?
Oh, Alex. Yes, we should.
We have on our hands a house favorite.
Yes, we do.
A bipinnately compound tree.
Yes. And not only, Alex, how big is this bipinnately compound leaf?
Oh, my
leaf?
God. Let's start zoomed in and back out.
Yeah.
The leaflets are like a 2-inch simple leaf.
Yes. Yeah. Around there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you back out and there's a whole leaf of those.
Yep.
And then you back out and there's a whole leaf of those. The ultimate leaf is like, what, 2 feet, 3 feet?
Higher. Sorry. I was going to say higher, then you said 2-3 feet.
Right.
So yes, 2-3 feet. Correct. Sorry.
22 feet?
It's a 22 feet.
2-2 feet?
Yeah.
Yeah, these are big, big leaves.
They're the biggest leaves of all trees in North America.
Now, is that cheating, Casey? I don't think we can put bipinnately compound leaves in the same category as like a big catalpa leaf.
I disagree.
Well,
because a leaf is measured from the petiole all the way out to the ends of all the leaf blade points.
I understand.
Okay.
But I think it's a gray area personally.
So you're more like one complete leaf blade. Like a catalpa, right? It's like a big plate. One big leaf blade, no breaks in it.
That is a simple leaf.
Yes.
I think biggest leaf should go to a simple leaf.
Really?
I think giving biggest leaf to a bipinnately compound leaf is a little
wow.
A little washy.
Okay, so this is very curious, Alex. This is a good question, because this, to me, comes out at the same level of, like, what's the biggest tree? Some people are like, well, it's Pando, because right. It's one big thing, right. But it's, like, technically all these different individual stems.
But see, I think that the one big tree thing, I feel the same way. I'm like, Pando's not a one big tree.
It would be, like, the biggest giant sequoia, which is the biggest, tallest, like the most volume of one single stem.
Exactly.
Not broken up into multiple stems.
Right.
Okay. Well done. You're consistent, Alex.
Well, wait 5 minutes.
Okay, that's very fair. See, I think about this as it's one big leaf.
Yeah.
So I would say, you know, I measure it out, all these different rachis and all the different mid veins, all the stuff that comes in this, that's one big leaf. So when I hold it up from the very base of the petiole and I look at it and I'm like, that's huge. I see the whole thing.
I totally appreciate and understand your perspective. You're an arborist. I am not
an aesthete.
Yes. Is that a word?
I think so. Yeah.
That's
one
great.
One who is focused on the aesthetics of
aesthete.
Something.
Okay.
Prefers the aesthetic ideal.
Great.
Well done, Alex. There you go. Well, we have what could or could not be considered the biggest leaf filled with all these little teeny tiny leaflets.
Very cool.
That is in the entire North America.
Well, Casey, can we talk about the bark?
Yes, we can, Alex. Oh my God, is it gorgeous. So here's how I described the bark. The bark is often thick and platy, a dark gray and swirly form. As the tree ages, the bark develops shallow furrows and separates into curved plates. Subsequently, those plates curl up at the edges, giving it the appearance that it's sort of drying out at the edges. But also, the plates themselves are sort of curved like the profile of a kidney bean.
Wow.
Isn't that beautiful?
That is beautiful.
Thanks. I wrote that in a haste this morning.
You want to hear my assessment?
Yeah.
You know, when you're making a meringue and the recipe says to whip to stiff peaks?
Okay.
This looks like a meringue.
Huh.
That you made, and then you just kind of like...
How curious.
With a knife.
I've never done that, nor heard of that as a as a thing to do.
It's a gorgeous bark.
Oh my God.
Regardless of how you want to describe
it's
it.
It's so gorgeous. It's just beautiful. It's like taking the best things of a honey locust tree, which has this bark that has big, long, ridged plates that then kind of pop out.
Yeah. I will say it's almost like pseudo paper bark.
Yeah.
It's got like elements of paper bark without being fully paper bark.
Precisely. Yeah. It's like really hard. It's like cardboard bark.
Yeah. It's like a pine paper bark.
Exactly. The texture is just divine. So that is the cool thing about it. Of course. Also, we should note it's alternatively arranged down the bud, just so you know.
Okay.
These big twigs. The twigs are huge. We skipped over that when we just went straight to the bark.
Right.
The twigs are known, like, it's an ID characteristic of being big, huge, fat buds.
In diameter?
Fat twigs. Yes.
Okay.
And that is because, of course, they're holding up these giant leaves.
You gotta be.
You gotta be. You gotta be strong enough.
You gotta be strong to hold up the guitar.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of song references here.
Everything reminds me of a song.
Yeah, that's very true.
Well, Casey, I would love to, you know, this thing's called the Kentucky coffee tree.
That's right.
By the way, coffee tree is one word.
Correct.
Unhyphenated.
Yes, which is, you could also hyphenate it.
Let's talk about why it's called the coffee tree, or the element that the name comes from, which is these seeds inside these pods.
Yes.
Is this in Fabaceae, Casey?
This is in the pea family.
Okay.
Yes, correct.
Okay, I thought it might be. What gave it away, Alex?
Yeah. Well, you know, the pea pod.
Yeah.
The gigantic pea pod.
It's a huge pea pod.
It is, and that is one of these things. This is a tree that developed with old ancient animals that no longer exist.
It is geo... It is geologically anachronistic.
That is a fine way to do it, though it's not correctly stated.
I worked so hard for it.
I know you did. That's why I didn't want to do it. You know, you did a good job. Ecological anachronism.
Ecological.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if you're interested in what that is and you want more details, go give a listen to the Osage Orange.
That's right.
Where we talk about mastodons and such.
The episode title is Mastodon.
Precisely.
Yes. Well, these pods are fucking huge, Casey.
They are. They're massive.
A lot of photos have somebody holding them in the palm of their hand, and the pods are invariably bigger than their hand.
Yeah, like they are the size of like a modern cell phone. Maybe not quite as wide, but definitely of a size.
Like a Nokia flip phone.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Flipped. And they are like just ever so slightly curved. They're very leathery when they dry out. They start kind of a light brown and they age to a very dark, dark brown.
Yeah.
And inside, if you were to rip those open, there's a very kind of juicy Swedish pulp. And inside, nested into this pulpiness, are a bunch of different seeds. I think it's usually between, you know, maybe 3, 4, 5, 6, something like that.
It reminds me a bit of the pawpaw.
It does. Yeah, it looks very similar. They're not related.
Okay.
But they are, that is exactly what it looks like. They get up to like 25 centimeters long.
Damn.
It's like 6 or 7 inches.
That's incredible.
Yeah, isn't it nice? And they persist on the tree for several years. So if you see one, if you see a tree that has them, you see a Kentucky coffee tree that's of an age, you'll see these kind of hanging around on the tree for a long time.
Does it take them that long to mature?
No, it takes just 1 year, I believe, for it to mature.
But they'll just hang out there forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
And these are so big, being this ecological anachronism, that this is the thing about this tree. It developed, like the Osage Orange, like the honey locust, in that it grew these big fruits so that something would eat them.
Yes.
However, those things don't exist anymore.
Right.
Now, they called the Kentucky coffee tree because the native peoples in the areas where this tree grows would take those beans and they would roast them and they would grind them up and they'd make a drink. Settlers, as they came by and pushed these Indians away, they also used this, and it was essentially marketed as a coffee substitute.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means it's a dark colored, flavored tea-like substance made with beans in the same way that you would make coffee.
Okay.
And that's essentially where it ends.
Right. So there's no caffeine in these?
Nope.
Doesn't taste like coffee?
I don't believe so.
Okay. It was just like a kind of a... Like in the way that something really mainstream and popular is always going to have alternatives.
Yes.
This is sort of like an alternative coffee.
It's
in the sense
like
that it's a drink.
Honestly, it's more like someone was trying to get settlers to go out and purchase land and colonize this area. So they said, there are literal trees out there that grow coffee. Go out there and get those coffee trees. You don't even need coffee. It's literally growing on the trees.
Wow.
So they'd go out there, but then as soon as coffee became available at the local store, they would stop using this and they would just get normal coffee.
Sure, it's a general store.
Exactly. So it is kind of one of those things you're like, well, not really, but it was something, and the seeds had been roasted and eaten by the native peoples for a long time. The thing is, though, the seeds are poisonous if you don't roast them.
Oh, boy.
And all the other mast-producing trees that exist in this area, like your acorns and hickories and pecans, way better, way more delicious, way more everything. So why would they work really hard for these one things that are kind of already scattered and not really available all the time, always anyway?
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, yeah, there's some coffee beans, or coffee trees. Let's just go get those and we'll roast them up and we'll make a little tea. It'll be fine and we're good. They had a lot of different medicinal uses, of course. The native peoples were using these trees for 1,000 different things for a very, very long time. But I want to flip this a little bit, Alex.
Wow.
I believe in my heart of hearts, after thinking about this tree, I've loved this tree. Every time I see one, I'm just a little bit excited. I think it's great. I believe that the Kentucky coffee tree hates you, hates me, doesn't want to hang out, doesn't want to be around, doesn't like you, doesn't like parties, is upset, and is not willing to change.
Wow.
I think this tree is from a different time and it hates the new age.
Sure.
This is a tree that is the old guy sitting on the porch that every time someone comes by blaring a new kind of music,
yeah.
he just yells like, get off my porch,
yeah.
you stupid kids.
Listen to Pete Seeger, why don't you?
yeah, exactly. I think that we can look at this tree, and I think this tree is telling us, please go away.
It is not want for this world.
Yes.
Literally.
Correct.
It's meant for another time.
It is meant for another time.
And that time has passed.
Yes. And I think the tree, I think it's upset about it.
I think it's like so successful, it's kind of upset that like, if it had the autonomy, it wouldn't be here.
No, Alex, I think it might, but it's not so successful. It was successful. It was successful in like it, I don't know. I can't like maybe it like invented one particular thing that was so good and worked so well. And then all of a sudden everything changed and now it's completely pointless and useless.
I see.
I the first thing that popped in my mind was a fax machine. Another thing that popped in my mind was like, let's say you have the patent on the CD, like that's your thing.
Okay,
you own that.
Hell yeah.
And as soon as digital stuff comes out, you're just like, oh, brr.
Yes.
But
okay,
the CDs still have their place, at least in my opinion. I love CDs. That's my jam.
Is it really?
I love getting a CD. I love having an actual thing.
So that we're saying that the Kentucky coffee tree was really, 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 really successful.
Yes.
And was just outcompeted by technology.
No. It had the world change around it against its will, and now it's a curmudgeon.
I see.
Because 50,000 years ago and before,
mm-hmm.
we were in an ice age. Actually, I guess really like 15,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, North America was in an ice age. Let's set the stage.
All right.
There's glaciers that have come down and come over all the northern section of North America.
Ooh.
There are glaciers that kind of come down and pop over here. Everything's very cold, but also everything is very, very kind of warm-ish down below. But it's kind of like, you know, in Florida, it was what it's like now in North Carolina.
Hey, baby, I'm warm-ish down below.
So all the trees that exist now in everywhere that's north of, let's say, North Carolina in the United States, like all the southern half of the United States is where everything was really crushing it and living.
Yeah.
Then as the glaciers receded, mm-hmm. everything kind of started to move up and get further north.
Sure.
This is, you know, happened a couple different times over time. The Kentucky coffee tree is hardy down to zone 3, which is like northern Minnesota and Ontario kind of thing.
Wow.
And it is the last to leaf out and the earliest to drop its leaves. So why would it do that? Other than having adapted to grow in a condition that stays really cold late in the season and then gets really cold early in the season.
Casey.
So this tree, I think, loved the ice age.
Wow.
Then it made this long-term relationship to all these megaflora animals.
Yeah.
And it was like, you want something delicious to eat? Wonderful. Here it is. Oh, wait, hold on, stop. Don't eat literally anything else. I'm going to put up my barriers, and I'm going to be very clear about what we're going to give and take in this relationship.
And by the way, the poisonousness of it is like a strategy, right?
Correct. The seed itself, right?
Right. So when an animal, a megafauna, eats one of these seeds, it's like, oh god, this is making my belly hurt. I better like poop it out immediately.
Exactly.
And the seed isn't digested, it just comes out as is and starts to grow.
Exactly. In fact I believe most of the rest of it is very much not palatable for anything else either.
So it's really good at that.
It is that fruit. The fruit itself and that big pulpiness in the middle, that is what is the edible part.
Gotcha.
So you're exactly right. In fact, this tree is so, so like intimately involved that it would have to be eaten. Those seeds go into the stomach, which is full of acid. They sit in that acid for a while everything else around them are dissolved. And then they pass through and get defecated during the call of nature through a glyptodont. It then drops down, and that is what's called scarification or scarification.
Scarification.
Yeah. It's literally the seed has to be scarred or etched or some other way of like kind of destroyed a little bit. Like it's got to have some wound on it or else it won't germinate.
Really?
Yes. Lots of different trees are like this. Lots of different plants are like this. And it's a designation that the seed basically is triggered to start growing once it passes through an animal. Because the acid breaks down the outside of it.
Uh-huh.
And once that outside gets broken down, that is the trigger that then goes boom, 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 start growing.
Why does that... So that's telling the seed that it has been... I mean, not... You know, not literally.
Speak figuratively.
Okay. That's telling the seed that it has passed through an animal and is now sitting on the ground in a pile of manure.
Ready to grow.
Or fertilizer, I should say.
Yeah.
Maybe. Interesting.
That's exactly
right. What
the hell?
So. This reminds me of another one of these kinds of things, another trigger.
Yeah.
How plants or trees will kind of note the first day of the year where it's like warmer more than it is cold.
Yep.
And that's how they know it's spring and so they start to bloom.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like
track of this stuff.
Is this a chemical communication? Like, ooh, or how does this work, Casey?
I don't really know what it is, because the only way it grows, why now? In the modern day, this tree grows as a wetland, kind of lowland area tree.
Yeah.
Is that the only means of dispersal is that the fruit and the seeds fall in water and get taken downstream and then land somewhere and then the tree grows.
So smart.
No, that's the thing. That's its last ditch effort.
Oh.
The intelligence of this tree is that it made those agreements with all those megafauna way back in the day.
I mean, I'm impressed either way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I don't know. It's like you invent some big machine and then it's like MySpace.com.
Love it.
MySpace.com was the first social media anything. Everyone had a MySpace.
Mm-hmm.
And then MySpace got eclipsed by Facebook and then by everything else. And then it changed hands. And now it's like this backwater music thing that no one cares about.
Yes.
The only useful thing is that every now and then someone goes to it to listen to this artist that they only know from their local area.
Wow.
So it's kind of like useless now, except for this one thing that's kind of like, well, I mean, I guess I'll take that.
But there are many other things that do it better.
Yes. So that like a cottonwood, a willow, a bunch of other things that are dedicated to getting dispersed by water.
Yeah.
Crush it.
You know,
a coconut palm. Mm. However, the Kentucky coffee tree is kind of like, well, I guess that's all I got. Okay, fine.
Wow.
It hates it. It hates everything.
Casey, you're really making a good case.
Okay, I'm happy.
For the personality of this tree.
I think this tree is very sad. It only grows in small groves or as a single tree. It does not have like forests like we have of oaks or maples or Doug firs or pine.
Yeah.
There's one. And then it sprouts up from there every now and then, and then that's it.
I'm thinking of another analogy.
Okay, what is it?
Kind of in tandem with a CD salesman.
Okay.
The Kentucky coffee tree is like an actor who was in Star Trek.
Yes.
The original Star Trek.
Yeah.
They were like a fan favorite. Everybody loved them in the 50s, right? Mm-hmm. 50s and 60s.
Yeah.
It's now 2023. And their agent is like, nobody's really talking about you anymore.
Yeah.
But you could go to this like Star Trek convention. And they're like, I really don't want to do that. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
But they go anyway, and they're sitting at their table in the celebrity zoo, as Red Letter Media calls it. And like nobody really walks up to get an autograph.
The one person that does is just asking where someone else is to go get their autograph.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're asking where's the bathroom.
Yeah.
Do you work here? Where's the restroom?
I was famous.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it does it because it's the way that the kids are doing it, and it works for them. So
made a little bit of money.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think
it's a very bleak. I'm sorry.
It is.
I was saying it. It sounded sadder and sadder, but I feel bad for the Kentucky coffee tree.
I think that that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So let me just go through and give you a quick kind of let's encapsulate this.
Okay.
Okay. So we had a tree in the Ice Age. It was perfectly adapted. It had all the friends in highest places. It knew the biggest animals on the block.
Yeah.
Not only did it know the biggest animals on the blocks, the biggest animals on the block knew it.
Mm.
They would eat it. They would transfer it. And to this day, the Kentucky coffee tree can grow in almost any space. Upland areas, lowland areas, middle elevations. Well, it didn't really have a whole lot of middle elevations where it's from anyway, so not really a big concern. But it could grow anywhere, in a field, on the streets, lowlands. It's adapted. It can do anything.
Okay.
Had this very particular way of dealing with the really cold temperatures. It came out right when everything was happening. It closed right before everything stopped. It just had itself dialed in.
Right.
It has then been living and living and living, watching all of these power players. Like another analogy, because that's the best thing to do.
Yeah.
It knew all the heavy hitters and the owners of all the casinos in Las Vegas in 1960. 1965 came. The first thing that it did was introduce itself to Frank Sinatra and the whole Rat Pack. And it was with them in all their pictures, doing all their drugs, having a great time, knew all the mafia bosses, and it had itself set.
Nice.
Then times changed. Everyone died. Legality came in and said, no, we're not going to do that anymore. For whatever reason,
right. All
of these big heavy hitters went away. And then slowly but surely, all the old haunts started closing. It moved out of this upland area and moved down to this drudgery, like this place that has no fine places. The restaurants all suck. It's growing with its roots in this putrid soil. And the only reason it regrows from seed is because it has such horrible conditions that all the stuff on the outside of the seed decays. And then finally it's like, well, I guess I'm scarified enough. I'm going to pop up a new seed and there you go. So it has that. Everything about it is poisonous. And now it's basically like, well, no one's going to eat the thing that isn't poisonous or help me do it. So you know what? No one touch me. No one look at me. I'm not even going to show up to your party. And when I do, I'm going to be on the side.
Wow.
And on top of this, on top of the whole thing, no one really gives it too much credit as a nice tree because its flowers are so minimal. So it has flowers, they're fine, but only recently did people start planting it because it's a great tree to be in these awful situations of a street, perhaps.
Sure.
But the thing is, in order, Alex, to grow it from seed, you have to either put it in like concentrated phosphoric acid for a long time to dissolve the outer coat,
mm-hmm.
and then deal with, you know, what are you going to do with all the rest of your phosphorus acid for a while? Or you have to go through and like take an etching on the thing,
God.
On the actual seed. And then that seed will grow because it's been triggered to grow.
Wow.
The only saving grace.
What a pain in the ass.
Right? Like you just got to be like, wow, does this tree have any friends?
Does it even want to be here?
Yeah. The only saving grace for this tree in its relationship, its last friends, as I would say, before maybe the modern era that we're on right now, all the native peoples that lived in this area,
mm-hmm.
in fact, apparently all the native peoples across the United States and all of North America, they had a dice game that they played. They would play this dice game and they would use, I can't quite see if they would use the individual seeds as the dice,
yeah.
because they would also like carve things from bone, burn one side, so there's like a white side and a black side.
Okay. Like Go.
I don't know that game.
Go is like an ancient, I think it's ancient Chinese.
Okay.
With like a little disc that you turn and one side's black, one side's white.
Okay, yeah. It might be very similar.
Okay.
And it was very popular with little, you know, rule changes and scoring things that you could do depending on the tribe, but it was very like culturally significant. And they would play this game either for recreation or as a part of like these very intense, like dream kind of, you know, cultural, ceremonial kind of things.
Yeah.
But it was wildly important. they would play this game, and it would either use the seeds as like counting beans to like how many do you have versus me who wins.
Sure.
Or it would actually be used as those, you know, the dice that you would flip. But what they would do is they would etch onto these individual seeds. They would etch something like maybe a hand, maybe a bird, maybe something. And that would denote the blank side versus the other side that has that little etching on it.
Heads and tails.
Now, what happens when you etch or you scarify these seeds?
Oh.
They grow. So they ended up finding these trees next to settlements of native peoples all over the place because they would use these as a part of this cultural part of their life. So these trees would be growing and they would, you know, make it into a tea. There's also medicinal things they got from the leaves and all the rest of the parts of the tree. So they had this one last ally. And then that got forced out by the colonists, and it no longer has the place that it used to have.
Wow.
So, like, everything about this poor Kentucky coffee tree, except for, like, right now, people are like, well, we can plant it as a street tree. This is great. Everything else about it just is, like, it's had everything going for it at one point in time, and it's just lost out everything.
Damn.
It's the most pitiful thing I think I've read in such a long time.
Oh, my God. I love it. That's incredible, Casey.
There
can I pitch one more saving grace?
I think so, yeah. Oh, and we can talk about those saving graces more. But we'll save that for the review.
Wow. Well, I just want to say, I looked up the Kentucky coffee tree on the Wood database.
Ooh, yeah.
This is a very hard wood.
Is it really?
1390.
Jeez.
Which is really hard.
See, all that does is just sell me more on the curmudgeonness of this tree.
Yeah. It's probably hard as shit to chop down.
Yeah. Not only is it a tree that, like, doesn't want to be near you or any of your friends.
Yeah.
It doesn't want you to touch it or any of its parts.
Poisonous.
It wants to be alone. It wants to come out when it needs to do its thing. Then it's going to go back into dormancy. We don't care about your stupid sunshine. Stop talking to me. Please go away. And then you come over and it's like hard as a rock. And it's like, you know what? I'm not even going to move for you. You're gonna work so hard for this. You want my branch, asshole?
You know what's funny, though? I want it to like me.
I know, right?
What the hell's that? Casey, we got to give this tree a review. But first, we got to take a break.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back with some potentially praising, potentially scathing words for this Kentucky coffee tree. Right after the break, we'll be right back with more Completely Arbitrary.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back to Completely Arbitrary. That was our discussion on the Kentucky coffee tree. I think a great one, Case.
I think so, yeah. I'm happy you think so, too.
Yeah. It's time for a review of the Kentucky coffee tree, and here's how it works. We're going to give some final thoughts on the tree and then give it a rating of 0 to 10 golden cones of honor. Casey, as our resident expert, we'll begin with you.
All right. So here's what I think about this tree.
Casey is holding... Must Love Trees, An Unconventional Guide by Tobin Mitnick.
That's right. Coming in at number 99, The Kentucky Coffee Tree.
Oh, and his rating of the top 100 trees? Or?
This is, it's not a rating, actually. This is his part three, a slightly opinionated guide to North American trees. So I think this just happens to be the number in which it lands.
Okay.
However, I was just looking at it to see if we had much to say about it.
Yeah.
And he does say, you know what? It's just a little weird. And I think that's okay. He knows he's weird. The Kentucky Coffee
That's what
tree.
He says about it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you go buy the book, everyone, and you read it for yourself.
Yeah.
My thoughts on the Kentucky Coffee Tree. I like it, but I like it in a way that, like, you see someone who's at the party, someone who's over there, who's doing, you're like, ah, you know, they're really cool.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go talk to them. I want to go hang out with them. Hey, what's your name? He left. He hates me.
They're out back smoking a cigarette.
Exactly. And like every time you go out to like smoke your cigarette with them, they're always happen to be done with their cigarette and they leave. And you're like, I don't even smoke cigarettes. I just came out here to be cool so I could stay next to you. That's how I feel with the Kentucky Coffee Tree.
Gotcha. Like,
I think it is it's a curmudgeon that doesn't want anything to do with you because its heyday was a long time ago and it's pissed off that it is not today. The Osage Orange, it's kind of fine with it. I think it's just kind of like, yeah, whatever, cool.
Osage Orange is really chill.
Yeah, everything's kind of changed and it's just doing its thing. It's okay with it. It's way more chill.
For sure.
I think the Kentucky Coffee Tree, I think it does not like it. It will yell to get you off of its lawn and get out of its bark. Don't mess with it. But at the same time, that creates this aura around it of like mysteriousness and like, who wronged you?
For sure.
And I think his answer is consistently people.
Yeah.
All of you for all of time, except for some of my buds once I finally got to know a few of you and you got to know me. But now you're back at it being jerks.
You know, the Kentucky Coffee Tree is a bit of a Roy from IT Crowd.
Oh.
Who says, people, what a bunch of bastards.
I think that is true. Yeah. I think that's true. Rather, I think I'm betraying a little bit that I believe more in the theory that people had way more to do with the extinction of the Ice Age fauna than just the change of climate.
Sure.
I lean that direction.
Hunting-wise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, what are you feeling, Case?
Honestly, I want to give this such a high score because I want it to know how cool I think it is.
Yes.
But I need to also remember that, you know, I have to, okay, keep it professional over here.
I feel like I know where you're going to land.
I want to give this like an 8.2.
Great.
Yeah, that's where I want. But then like, I think that, and like I said, I think it's just because I'm like, I think this tree's cool. I want to be your friend, but you don't want anything to do with me. So I got to respect that.
This
but
is fine.
Every time I see one, I get stoked because I'm like, oh, there's a Kentucky coffee tree.
Yeah,
those aren't
yeah.
planted near as much as they should be. Now I know why, because you have to literally boil them in acid before they decide to grow. That's, yeah, talk about coming out of your shell.
Can't you just scrape them?
Yeah, you can, but imagine taking, you know, a seed that's like the size of a nickel and then going through with a little like file and just going, pick up another one.
As opposed to just dumping a big bucket of them in a big bucket of acid.
Yeah, exactly. All so, right. You know, I guess, yeah, you can't just reach in and grab them after that. So, yeah, there's issues either way.
There's a whole workflow with the acid.
Yeah. So we'll talk to some nurserymen about it.
8.2.
Yeah, I think 8.2 is
a great score.
This.
I thought you were going to land on 7.2. So this is even better than I could have imagined.
I was thinking 7.9 at first. And then I was like, you know, I do think this is a cool tree. If they were planted everywhere all the time, I would be stoked about
it.
And I think they would be too. But I just think we also need to, you know, I don't know, bring back giant sloths.
Bring back giant sloths. Hey, speaking of anachronistic animals,
yeah,
we talked about bringing the dodo back. Bring back the giant sloth.
Yeah, come on. Do something more than just dodo. I love the dodo, but ecologically speaking,
yeah,
we need short-faced bears and giant sloths, glyptodonts. Yes. Mammoths? Who cares?
Put the pedal to the metal and get us some cool megafauna.
Yeah, bring us back to 13 to 50,000 years ago, and let's just make it happen.
Hey, we might be there in a few hundred years, Casey, if this whole climate keeps changing. Huh?
Wouldn't that be funny if like our global warming actually just like gets to a certain point, reverses, and puts us into an intense Ice Age?
Yeah.
Sick.
You know, I always think about like what I would do in the post-apocalypse, you know, because I don't really know. All of my skills depend on like internet access, essentially, and guitar. I guess I could be a traveling bard.
Yeah, that's true. You can do that.
8.2 Golden Cones of Honor.
That's what I think, Alex. What about you? What do you think as the resident aesthete?
There's nothing I don't like about this tree.
Really?
To me, it's sort of like, it's sort of, the reason I discovered throughout the episode, the reason I predicted that this would grow in a riparian area.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of the black walnut. Which,
okay.
I guess, maybe don't grow in riparian areas.
They do, yeah. They're bonsai trees, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It reminds me of the black walnut, I think, bipinnately compound. And it just looks like a black walnut to me. It reminds me of the same kind of, like, vibe.
I should note that the black walnut is only compound. It's not by a pinnately compound.
Oh,
it's just pinnately compound. But they look similar if you look at the secondary pinnae. So you're not wrong. Pinnae. I just want to make sure that as we're saying this, we're not going to have someone send an email and be like, you know, Alex got that wrong. Alex knows this, everyone.
Thank you, Casey.
Anyway, continue. I'm sorry I interrupted.
I don't think I did know it off the top of my head, but now you know. Now I know. It reminds me of black walnut, a tree that I have a great admiration for.
You are Mr. Walnut.
I am Mr. Walnut. I love a bipinnately compound. I've also heard doubly compound. I heard that in a YouTube video.
Huh. Yeah.
From the Kentucky Extension Service or something.
Kentucky
Forestry Extension Service.
I guess. It just doesn't tell you what kind of double compound it is.
Fair enough.
You know?
A road best left for another time.
Yes, agreed.
I also, I'm reading this wood database thing about it. And it's all kind of like, whatever. And then they're under workability. It says coffee tree has good working characteristics and nearly every machining operation can be done with good and expected results. Glues, stains, and finishes well. So, the Kentucky coffee tree may be a bit of a curmudgeon. It doesn't want you on its lawn.
Nope.
But once it's dead and has given you its corpse, it plays ball. I love that.
Oh, God. Alex, that's great.
8.5 Golden Cones of Honor for the Kentucky coffee tree.
7.5 if it's alive, though.
I think it's an instant classic, Casey. That's amazing. Love it a lot. Yeah.
Now, Alex, I was thinking that you were going to say that you like this tree a lot. Because my question, actually, before I say what I thought, I want to know what you think. Do you feel, per our conversation at the beginning, that this is a tree that you personally relate to?
A tiny bit, but not really. I'm not like a cranky dude.
Yeah,
I'm
not
like
a curmudgeon.
I like people.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just I also really like being alone.
Yeah, you like being on the side of the party. Come late, leave early.
Yeah. But not because I think I'm cooler than everyone. It's just only because I'm afraid of attempting to connect with people and it not working out and me feeling really bad about that.
I think this is the Alex tree. Because I think that's also what it's done. It connected. It was absolutely connected to old fauna. And every time it's tried to reach out to the new fauna, no one cares.
I guess there's one other thing, which is, I do have a bit of a streak of trying to poison people.
Yeah, that's true. And every time I take a little bit of acid and I throw it on you, you really come out of your shell. You really do. You really become quite animated.
That was our review of the Kentucky coffee tree. Casey, it's time for our completely arbitrary Q&A this week. We're going to the Patreon, as we always do. Casey, our Q&A tier, Quercus and Alder. It's $3 a month, and you get the chance at getting your question read on air. And if not on air, in a patron-exclusive Q&A. And there is another benefit to doing this is that you are supporting the podcast, which I always forget about.
Yeah, that is true, though.
This one's from Kayla.
Hi, Kayla.
Hi there, says Kayla. I work at a factory that makes a royal pine-scented product.
Ooh.
It has me wondering, which pine would you consider royalty?
Oh, Casey, that's a great question.
I love this question. I love questions like this where we get to kind of muse and philosophize.
All right. Well, what do you think then? What does it start out with?
I'm going to pitch a couple.
Is that a pun? Were you punning me right there?
It was accidental. My first kind of selection in this royal draft of pines.
Yeah.
Bristlecone pine.
Ooh.
It is the exiled king.
Gotcha.
That lives on the mountaintop.
Yep.
That one day will return to the throne.
Yeah. Okay.
To take it from his usurper brother, right?
Ah, Jeffrey. Yes.
I'll let you choose one and then I have another one.
Okay. Okay. I love the idea of a royal pine. But the thing that, like, the first thing, and this is kind of ironic, when I think of royal pine, the first smell that comes to my brain is like a true fir.
Sure.
So is that bad of me to say, oh, royal pine smells exactly like a grand fir?
Right.
Because, yeah.
That's, it's interesting, like, Casey.
The citrusiness, the quality of it, you know?
Yeah,
Christmas tree smell.
Yeah.
That's what I think of.
What does the pine sol smell?
It's lemon, which is also citrus, right?
Is there like pine pitch in there?
I don't think so. I think they just,
I mean, not literally.
I don't know. I think they might have just made it smell like lemon, or maybe just lemon pine sol is what it is. But it has like that lemony citrusy smell scent to it.
I gotcha.
That I think is really where that comes from.
I gotcha.
But we need to stick to it. We need to come up with an actual royal pine.
I'm going to pitch my next
yes,
one.
Yes, please. Okay.
Only because I love the cone so much. Wow. And sitting right next to you, Casey. An Italian stone pine.
Italian stone pine.
Love an Italian stone pine.
That's the royal one. Okay, yeah. I think that
makes
sense.
Maybe one of my favorite pine trees.
Yeah, I think that feels right. Ooh. Okay, so those are both, like, those are really both, you know, good ones. They have a lot of metaphor to them, I think.
I agree.
The first one truly that comes to my brain is a ponderosa pine, but also, I guess the first three, a red pine, Pinus resinosa, I think is that one, and the eastern white pine.
Eastern white pine's a good choice.
Yes. And the reason I think this, this might just be from where I am. You know the Yankee Candle Factory?
Oh, yeah.
Yankee Candles, rather.
Yes.
The factory, in my experience, is in like Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
So all the scents that they usually come up with, you know, they'd start with the things like in their local area.
Yeah.
And so my brain immediately thinks of the red pine and the eastern white pine.
Interesting.
And I would also bet that the flavors that they have are more... they have more sense and nuance than just the smell of the pine needles, you know, the fresh ones.
Yeah.
I think when you go to a pine forest, it's like the duff, like the everything that's decaying around has like that certain piney smell to it.
Yes.
But it's more of a woody smell than like a citrusy smell.
Right.
So I betcha that it's more of a royal pine woodland, which makes me think it's a Scots pine, which is a royal pine that you'd find in, say, a royal hunting ground.
Interesting.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
I think that all sounds great.
All right. So maybe, Alex, it's actually just all of these different scents put together.
In a mishmash.
Yeah, exactly. Like, take all the royal kinds of pines and put them into one flavor.
Well, I do want to say that's not the original question, Casey. It was just what pine is most royal.
You're right.
And can I double down on Italian stone pine?
Yeah, I think you can.
Because it's one of the only pine trees I know that has a crown.
Oh, wow. It does. You're right. They do. They grow up and they're very flat top. Like, okay, yes. Wow. Okay. They all technically have crowns. Well, okay, you're right. I'm sticking with your agreement there. There you go. There's the answer.
Thank you so much, Kayla, for your wonderful question. If you have a question for us, like I said, join the Patreon at the $3 tier. It supports the podcast. It's an easy way to get in and ask some questions. You're going to get your question answered either on a patron exclusive Q&A or on a mainline episode. It depends.
That's exactly right.
Above that is the $5 Arboretum tier. You get two bonus episodes a month about other related topics and trees. It could be anything. An interview, a hangout sesh with Casey and I.
That's right.
Some deep dive on a really specific thing that we couldn't really fit on the mainline pod.
Yeah, right. We mused about death of trees and what that means a while back.
That's right.
One of our favorites.
That turned into a two-parter,
in fact. Yeah.
And then above that is our flagship tier, the Cone of the Month Club.
So good.
Here's how it works. We get an independent artist somewhere in the world to illustrate a conifer cone for us of many different species. We get them printed locally here in Portland, Oregon on a sticker. And we send that sticker to you in the mail with a little info card about that species, mm-hmm. a little fun fact and a summary, where it grows, the scientific name. Each envelope is guaranteed to be licked by the tongue of Casey Clapp. And you get a different one every month. You also get access to the Patron Cone Shop, where you can buy any of our past cones inventory.
That's exactly right.
At a steep discount, I will say. Above that is our $15 tier, Arbitrary Plus. It's our live stream tier. Twice a month, you get a live stream from Completely Arbitrary. One is from Casey and I about a host of topics, and one is from just me playing a game, Twitch style, about trees or other related topics.
That's right.
Above that, generous admission.
It's the most best place to be.
It's so generous. $20 a month or more. You can choose what you want, but it is the... We've used the word ultimate a lot lately, Casey. The ultimate way to support this podcast.
It's just so much. It's great.
It's incredible. And we're blessed to have a handful of people supporting us at that tier. And we welcome you to join at any tier. Patreon.com/arbitrarypod. By the way, there's also a $1 tier.
Yes, which is the tree huggers.
That's right.
We love you guys.
Just a little tip jar.
Yeah.
Also, please follow us on Instagram @arbitrarypod. You can find us on Facebook as well, and you'll post new episodes and mm-hmm. pictures and updates on what we're up to, fun videos.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's kind of a nice, kind of a compendium to the podcast.
It is. We also have a newsletter, a literal compendium to the podcast.
Yes.
So you can sign up on our website, or you can go to our store, buy something, some merch, and then say, yes, sign me up for news. We don't send more than one every 4 or 5, 6 months. So, you know, don't worry.
Design.
Yeah, don't worry about any amount of spam coming to you that way.
Yes. Casey Clapp.
Alex Croson, thanks for coming on this journey with me into this this tree's yard.
It was a great one. I sort of love these episodes where you pose an opinion.
Ah.
And then use the episode to convince me of your opinion.
Okay, good. Okay.
While giving me a platform to disagree, agree, what have you.
Whatever other options there are.
It's so fun.
I abstain from decision making. Thank you.
Overruled.
Oh, shit. Gotta make a decision.
I can do that. Wow. Yeah. Casey Clapp, thank you so much.
Alex, thank you.
And thank you for listening to this episode of Completely Arbitrary. Hey, we got a week off next week. We've got a bonus episode for you. But the week after that, stay tuned for some excellent news.
That's right. And come see us at the Tree Mees.
April 22nd, Earth Day.
That's right.
Bye, everybody.
Au revoir. Completely Arbitrary is produced by Alex Croson and Casey Clapp.
Our artwork is by Jillian Barthold, and our music is by Aves and the Mini Vandals.
And you can support the podcast at patreon.com/arbitrarypod.
And find additional readings at completelyarbitrary.com. Thanks for listening.